Let's pray. Father, help us to see what the veil is all about so that we may understand what you have done for us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus chapter 26, I'll begin reading in verse 31. And you shall make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen. It shall be made of cherubim skillfully worked into it. You shall hang it on the four pillars of the acacia overlaid with gold, with hooks of gold on four bases of silver. You shall hang the veil from the clasp and bring the ark of the testimony in there within the veil. And the veil shall separate for you the holy place from the most holy. You shall put the mercy seat of the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. And you shall set the table outside the veil and the lampstand on the south side of the tabernacle opposite the table. And you shall put the table on the north side. So the curtain basically had one job. It separated the most holy from the holy place. So again, if we divide up our tabernacle here on the table, you come to the place where you would sacrifice, then you would wash your hands, then the priest would come in this section and he would serve in the holy place. And then right past the altar of incense is where this veil is, this curtain. The only thing on the other side is the Ark of the Covenant. And the curtain would kind of be squared up here, and it would block off this section of the tabernacle from everything else. And anything to my left, your right, the people went and the priests went from right here to your left or my right, this section, the most holy place. The only one allowed in there was the high priest. And he was only allowed in there once a year. So this veil basically had a warning sign on it. Do not enter. Even though it wasn't literally there, it was just a veil or a curtain, the words were really imprinted there in everybody's mind that when you came to this spot, no one went past it. It was forbidden. And it also told the people of Israel in a very real way that direct access to God was forbidden. When we think of praying, when we think of talking to God, when we think of saying Abba Daddy, Abba Father, for the Israelite, there was a veil between them and God. There was a separation between them and God. You remember when Moses went up on the mountain, the Israelites were told to stay far away from that mountain, don't even go near it, or the holiness of God would kill them. There was a separation there. And that separation was brought on by the sin of Adam and Eve. And in a very real sense, even though our sin was subsequent to it, in a very real sense, our sin also was set in place in that veil. So I want us to notice three things about the veil or the curtain. First of all, the description of the veil. Verse 31, shall make the veil of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine twine linen, shall be made with cherubim skillfully worked into it. Notice there were three colors. There was blue, which every commentator, at least that I read, say that it speaks of Christ's heavenly character. And we'll see in a minute, everything about this veil speaks of Christ and what he did. So when we think of it in that sense, the blue that was made into the veil speaks of the fact that Christ came from heaven. We see that in John chapter 1. Christ is the one who came from heaven to this earth. The purple speaks of royalty, that Christ was a royal king. In fact, he is King of Kings, we're told in the book of Revelation, and Lord of Lords. So purple would represent the royalty of Christ. Scarlet represents the sacrificial suffering of and death of Christ. The sacrificial suffering of, and death of Christ. I looked this week, and I looked up just that word scarlet. And we find that when Rahab, you remember when she tied the cord outside of her window when the Israelites were going to come in and destroy Jericho, that cord was scarlet. It is said in Isaiah 1:18 that our sin is scarlet. When Jesus was beaten and then stripped, they took a robe that was scarlet and they put that robe on him. So scarlet cries out the sacrifice, cries out the nature of the death of Christ, that it was through his death that we are saved. Just like Rahab with the scarlet cord, and just like our sins being scarlet, and then the scarlet robe being put on Christ, scarlet speaks of the sacrifice of Christ. So his heavenly character, his royalty, and his death are all interwoven in to this veil. And then notice it had cherubim on it. I talked about the finely twined linen when we looked at the curtain as the people of Israel went in, but it also had cherubim or angels worked into it, into the veil. There are two kinds of angels. There are seraphim and cherubim, and these angels were the cherubim that are worked into this veil. So we see this description that is very, very similar to the curtain that was at the entrance of the tabernacle where the Israelites would initially come into the tabernacle. Number two, the deposit behind the curtain. The deposit behind the curtain. Verse 33. And you shall hang the veil from the clasps and bring the ark of the testimony in there within the veil. The ark of the testimony, the ark of the covenant. That is this piece of furniture. And I will talk a lot about this next week. And this is the one piece of furniture that had stuff inside of it, which I have not mentioned to you yet, at least not that much. But there are stuff inside of this ark that we'll learn about next week, but this one piece of article was hidden, one piece of furniture was hidden behind the tabernacle. The Israelites could not get to it. It's a very, very important piece of furniture. And also behind the tabernacle was the glory of God, behind this veil, I should say. The veil was behind this curtain. Skip over with me to Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter, verse 34 and 35 of chapter 40. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. When God would come in the tabernacle, this is the spot that God would come. And there are times when God would come into the tabernacle that Moses wasn't even allowed to enter, or the high priest. But normally when he came in, he would come and his presence would rest where these angels are on top of the Ark of the Testimony, the Ark of the Covenant. But this was the presence of God. So this curtain separated the main court, then the place of the priests, from the presence of God. If you were an Israelite, an individual Israelite, and you were out about the camp, when you would look at the tabernacle, you would see at least somewhat the glory of God protruding above the tabernacle, and you would know that God was there. and you would know that you could not go in there. It was a very, very holy place, and to enter there meant to die. The whole purpose of this veil was to keep you from going in there and dying. It was a dividing wall. It was a wall of separation. And that's where I want to spend most of our time tonight. I want you to notice, thirdly, the division of the curtain, or the division of the veil. Go back to chapter 26. Verse 33 again. You shall hang the veil from the clasp and bring the ark of the testimony in there within the veil. And the veil shall separate for you the holy place from the most holy. If you are going to underline anything in this chapter that relates to the veil or the curtain, this is the line that you need to underline. This is the purpose of the veil. And the veil shall separate for you the holy place from the most holy. That was its purpose, its whole purpose, its sole purpose. Let's learn a few things about it. It separated the holy place from the holy of holies. Only the high priest could go past this point. And he could only go in there once a year when he brought the blood in. One commentator said it this way. It was one long single curtain, not a divided curtain that could be easily opened. To get past it, one would have to move at least one of the poles on either side and go around it because it was not designed to be gotten past under normal conditions. It provided a barrier past which people could not normally go. So when you got to this place, it wasn't like, you know, you drew a drawstring and it would open up like that. It is not a place where there was kind of an opening and you would just push both sides apart. It was one single long curtain, and it wasn't, you know, where you just kind of go through this when you want. You did it once a year. Its whole purpose was to separate. It separated God's glory from the presence of man. The curtain suggests something that conceals. It concealed God's glory from man. Man could not have access to God until sin had been dealt with, until the price of sin was paid. In fact, I thought about this whole issue this week. Turn back with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And I want you to skip down with me down to verse 8. Genesis 3:8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The indication appears to be that God would come and talk to Adam and Eve, kind of like on a daily basis. That in the cool of the afternoon, God would come and he'd walk with them and he would talk with them. He would take on human form. And he would talk with them, kind of on a regular basis, until they had sinned. And once they had sinned, that ended. And that is why you read in chapter 3, verse 8, they had just sinned, they went and hid themselves. And they no longer felt the ability to be in the presence of God. And when you get to the end of this chapter, down in verse 22, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the garden he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Not only did it guard the way to the tree of life, but no longer can man come in the presence of God. From this point on, we find in the Bible it is only here and there, only once, as we would say today, in a blue moon, that God would come in the presence of man. And when he did, man every time was afraid he was going to die. It was only really Moses that would God could kind of come face to face that God didn't kill him. So when we come to this veil cried out that very thing. That until man's sin had been dealt with in such a way that the opening, that the way to God would finally be possible, this veil would separate man from God. This veil represents Christ himself. I have said when we began this series that everything in the tabernacle really pointed to Christ or what Christ had done. This veil especially does that. Turn with me in your Bible at Hebrews chapter 10. The Bible makes very clear that this veil represents Christ. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way that opened for us, watch this, through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Since we are able to come into the presence of God through a new and living way, that is, open for us, how? Through the curtain that is his flesh. The curtain represents the body of Christ. Curtain represents the life of Christ, which was shed on the cross, which was given on the cross, that would open the way into the presence of God. Curtain speaks of Christ's mission. Curtain tells us that Christ is the mediator of a new and living way. The curtain argues for the fact of the whole purpose of Christ's coming is not so that we might have a deeper relationship with God, but so that we might have a relationship with God to begin with. We come from a place of separation from God to having a relationship with God because of his shed blood. Turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. For anyone to say that Christ died to leave us an example, or Christ died as a good man, or Christ died to do anything other than first and foremost to bring us to God is to miss why Christ came. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that's Christ for us, notice that he might bring us to God. That's why he died. He died to bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. He died to bring us to God. He died to open the way for Christ's death to bring us into the presence of God, that we might have a real and lasting relationship with God. Turn back again to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews is a book that is all about the person, the mission, the sacrifice of Christ, and how that sacrifice relates to the Old Testament sacrifice when Christ came and died on the cross in comparison to the sacrifices that the individual Israelite would make. Hebrews chapter 9 in verse 6. These preparations having thus been made, the priests go regularly into the first section performing their ritual duties. But into the second, only the high priest goes. And he but once a year, and not without taking blood. So the first section, the holy place, the second section on the other side of the curtain, the most holy place, only once a year and never unless he has the blood of the sacrifice with him, the blood that was shed on the very first piece of furniture, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people. By this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the holy place is not yet open as long as the first section is still standing, which is symbolic for the present age. According to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered. They cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper, but deal only with food and drink and various washings, regulations for the body imposed until the time of reformation. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater, more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit offered without blemish to God, purify our consciences from dead works to serve the living God? When Christ died on the cross, he did what the offerings in the tabernacle never could do: purify us, perfect us, bring us all the way to God. For, you know, the individual Israelite, he only came into the first section. But after that, the priest had to go. He could never go all the way. But the blood of Christ brought us all the way. The blood of Christ brought us all the way to God, finished forever, with one sacrifice, access to God, completed once for all time. The sacrifice that needed to take place so that we could come all the way to the presence of God. In fact, turn back with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 19. Let me show you this. John chapter 19, phrase I'm sure you're very familiar with, argues for the very fact that when Christ sacrificed himself on the cross, he brought us all the way. John 19, verse 30. 19:30. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." Tetelestai. It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. When Christ died on that cross, his shedding of blood, his death, the sacrifice, finished the offering once for all. So when we see people today receiving the Mass and over and over and over sacrificing Christ, what they are really missing is that when Jesus died on the cross, it was finished once for all. We have now been brought all the way into the presence of God. We don't need a priest going between us and him. He is that priest. And he brought us all the way to God. So when he dies here, the very last thing he cries out, and this is the very last thing he cries out, it is finished. Transaction is complete. They would take this word and they would write it across a business transaction. It meant transaction completed, it's done. Sacrifice is finished, it's completed, it's done. The way to God has now been opened for all eternity, and it comes through Christ and what he did on the cross. That is what salvation is all about. That is what the cross is all about. He brought us to God, the righteous for the unrighteous to bring you to God. And if that doesn't say it, then turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. If you understand the tabernacle, as I hope you now do, having spent these past weeks on it, you will understand this event when Christ died on the cross. Matthew chapter 27. I want to begin reading in verse 50. And Jesus cried out again, and with a loud voice, that is that statement we read in John, when he shouted out, "It is finished," and with a loud voice, he yielded up his spirit. He died. At this point, he dies. That's why when the Roman soldier comes to break his leg so he would die of suffocation, Christ is already dead. Verse 51, and behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That's this curtain that ultimately is represented in the temple of Jesus' day. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were open and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep, who had died, were raised. This was no normal event. When Jesus dies, we have a whole bunch of dead people coming to life. And then when you read on in the Gospels, in here it says, all these dead people go and start walking back into the city. I mean, you know, if you're living on this day, something is different. But here a very significant sign happens. The curtain that separated, now in the tabernacle, the permanent place for the Israelites of worship, the curtain splits not from bottom to top, but from top to bottom, telling us it is God who splits this curtain. The curtain that we're talking about that separated the holy place from the most holy splits in half. It is said that the curtain in Jesus' day, this curtain we're reading about here in Matthew 27, was 2 inches thick. Can you imagine making a curtain that is 2 inches thick? It is said that two teams of oxen could not rip this curtain apart. It was so strong. But it was torn by the hand of God. It was ripped from top to bottom, telling us what? We now have access to God. We now can come into the most holy place. We can now come into the presence of God because of what Jesus did when he stretched out his hands and he died on the cross. That's salvation. That's what salvation is all about. That's what it means when we come to Jesus and we place our faith in what he did on the cross and we ask him by the shed blood of Christ to save us from our sin. It is understanding that when he died, he opened up the way to God, God the Father, and the only way to get to him is through the curtain that is the body of Jesus. He shed blood. Now, again, I already mentioned that Hebrews 10 is all about the sacrifice. The book of Hebrews is. So let's go back there again and let's see what happens. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4. The curtain has been torn apart. Hebrews talks of this issue and the sacrifice of Christ. Now, why don't you notice Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive and find grace to help us in the time of need. Why can we do that? Because Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Curtain ripped apart, top to bottom, because of what Jesus did. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Acts 4:12, there's no name given under heaven whereby men might be saved than the name of Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5, we have one mediator between us and God, the man Christ Jesus. The way to God, the way into the most holy place, has been opened up. Why? Because the temple curtain, the veil, has been ripped in two when Jesus died on the cross for our sin. When his blood was shed, he gave up his spirit, he opened the way up to God. How do we get through it? By placing our faith in absolute total belief that the sole means of buying us into the presence of God is the cross of Christ. And because that way has been opened, Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Not because we deserve it, but because it is a throne of grace, and because of what Jesus did, why? That we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Our access to God is a wonderful privilege. It's a privilege that we should often take. And it is only available to us through Christ. This is the message we bring to this world. This is the message we ought to bring to every Jew. That our way cannot be earned to God, that the way is not open to God, except for the fact that the curtain has been torn in two. And it is now open through Christ and what he did on the cross. And because it is open, let's draw near to God with confidence. We can cry out, Abba, Daddy, Romans chapter 8. He's our Father. We can now go and talk with him one-on-one because of what Jesus did. This curtain that said, do not enter, this curtain that said you are separated from God, it's no longer there. It's been open because of what Jesus did. We can come into the presence of God. Let's stand for prayer. Father God, we do thank you that we are no longer kept from your presence, but we can come to you in confidence because of what Jesus did. We thank you for that. Help us, Lord, to take advantage of it and come to you often that we might find grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.